This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Can we just go to Matthew chapter 3? Matthew chapter 3. We're just going to read through what's happening here. We'll start from Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. And I want you to think about what we're reading there. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Interesting place to start preaching, isn't it? Wilderness where nobody goes. But he starts preaching in the wilderness, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this is he of whom it was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. That is pretty amazing, isn't it? That's pretty amazing that all of Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region about went out into the wilderness. There's quite an incredible attraction happening here. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. So what he preached had a profound, powerful impact upon people's lives. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he told them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the fire. And in fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 12 that our God is a consuming fire. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think about fire, but often it has a negative sort of feel to us. You know, fire is a destructive force. It burns things up. But we're going to look at what the Bible says about God. First of all, God is a consuming fire. In other words, it's his nature. His nature is fire. So we better take that into account, that God's very nature, just as we've sung that it's love, God is love, his nature is fire as well. In fact, I want to connect that fire to the love of God. There's a passage of scripture that says that he has lit a fire in his jealousy that will burn to the lowest hell. In other words, the fire of God's love over us is incredibly intense. And when we look at the gospel, when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, we see literally how intense the fire of his love is for every one of us. You know, often we've looked at the cross and we've cried out to God, "Oh, if you can help me, if you can do something, please help." You don't really understand the problem or the situation that I am, how difficult it is, the things that are weighing on me, the things that seem overwhelming and overburdening. In fact, the Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that are coming on the earth. And I mean, you just have to look around. People are very afraid, financially, security. We are in an amazing country. And I don't know how long it's going to last, but we are in an amazing country. The Bible says to pray for our leaders, pray for our governors and rulers, that there might be peace in our land. But, you know, if we take that kind of peace for granted, and don't recognize what it's upon us for, we're going to be held accountable before God. He has blessed us financially. He has blessed us in security in incredible ways in this nation. And there's a responsibility that comes with that. And I want us to recognize it. As we've heard through the prophetic word this morning, thousands coming to Christ. It's just amazing. And you look at the nations that's happening, nations where there's incredible turmoil. God is shaking everything. The securities of men and the hopes of men are falling. That's why the Bible says men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that are coming on the earth. What drew all Jerusalem, all Judea and all the region out to go and listen to John the Baptist? You know what Jesus said about John the Baptist? He was a burning lamp. He was a shining and burning lamp. In other words, he was on fire. And people went out to see what was going on because they are in darkness. This whole world is in darkness. And the first prophetic word we had was about rising, shining. In fact, that word arise in Isaiah there means to kindle afresh, get that fire burning within you again. And God wants that to happen with each of us because our God is a consuming fire. Let's have a look at a couple of scriptures. Exodus 24, that the glory of God came down on Mount Sinai. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now 17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire. This is what Paul's referring to in Hebrews 12. It's like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And you know, their response is, I'm not going too close to that. I'm going to back off. And so, but Moses went near. In fact, Moses' testimony, how did Moses get connected with God? Amazing story. Here's Moses brought up in the courts of Pharaoh. The Bible says in Acts 7 that he was a gifted man in speech. He was a powerful man of stature and status in the Egyptian Empire. And it's this man that has an encounter. You know, first of all, he tries to deliver his people by his own strength. And he runs into trouble. Isn't that interesting? He had no trouble killing the Egyptian that was tormenting one of the Hebrew. His trouble came when he tried to stop two Hebrews fighting. You know, in the church, we have our biggest problem trying to stop brethren fighting. That's where our biggest trouble, that's where the devil gets the biggest stronghold. But anyway, Moses does that, and Pharaoh hears about that he killed the Egyptian. And so Moses runs for his life. He takes off into the wilderness. There's that place again. And he's there, you know, 40 years in the wilderness. And what's he doing? Leading sheep, all visions and dreams of leading, delivering his people have pushed out. God has a way of raising those dashed hopes. There are people here with dashed hopes and visions, and God's wanting to restore them. And he's saying to you, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. The reason your vision, your dream is dashed, because you've been trying to do it in your own strength, and that's where you've been looking to fulfill what God wants to do. And this morning, God's going to show you how to break through that. It's not looking at yourself, your strengths or your weaknesses. The Bible says every mountain will be brought low, every valley will be brought up, and it will be a level playing field for every single one of us. Only by faith. Faith only comes by hearing the word of God. In other words, what he's done for each one of us. And that's why we've got to pay incredibly close attention to what God has been speaking to us. You know, I do it all the time. You know, listen to somebody and it just goes straight over my head. No, I won't say that. One ear and out the other. But just holding on to information. But how much more when God says something to us? He's speaking to us. So Moses, 40 years in the desert, giving up that hope, and suddenly he sees a sight. What does he see? He sees a bush on fire. And this bush is burning, but the bush isn't being consumed. Our God is a consuming fire. The bush isn't being consumed. And he says, I've got to turn aside and check this out. And so he goes aside and he has an encounter face to face with God. God speaks to him out of that burning bush, gets a hold of him, and then gets him he sets him ablaze. Think about this man. You know, he's running for his life, giving up all hope, sets him on fire, and he delivers a whole nation. It's an awesome story, and that's what God wants to do for you and for me. And it's not about your weaks and it's your weaknesses, and it's not about your strength. Haven't we been singing that this morning? When I'm weak, you make me strong. It's not about our weaknesses and it's not about our strengths, but it's about what God has done for us. So it was like a consuming fire. Ezekiel 1:27, we won't go there. He has a vision of the glory of God, and it's all this blazing flames that he sees. Revelation 1 verse 14 to 16, when John had a revelation of Jesus Christ, his eyes were blazing like a flame of fire. Do you realize his eyes are on fire? Think about that. His eyes are on fire. And the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Can you sense an intensity there? He's looking for someone whose heart is loyal towards him. Perfect, in other words. Perfect. Well, who can say, my heart is clean? Who can say it? Well, we can't, but in Christ we can. In Christ we can. That's what it's not about us, it's about what he's done. Do you realize what the victory of the cross is? John, when you read out, what was his name again? Oswald Chambers. When you read out his vision of the cross, the absolute victory. You know, I just had this thought that a couple, often we come to God and we're so consumed with this, our situation, our problem, we say to God, if you can do anything, if you heard, it's in the Bible, isn't it? The man with the son who was demon-possessed, he's at the point where nothing could help him. And he said, if you can do anything. And Jesus actually challenged that thought. He said, in other words, how dare you hang on to a doubt like that? When with God, nothing is impossible. And it's like you're coming before the King of glory, the King who has done everything and bared his mighty arm in the sight of every nation. He has wrought salvation, and such a salvation that, you know, he said to Haggai, look among the nation, be astounded at what I'm going to do. I'm going to completely destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to completely set every captive free. I'm going to completely restore 100%. And not only am I going to bring them out of their bondage, but I'm going to bring them into a glorious liberty of being called the son and the daughter of God. And it's all through what I will do. That's what God has done. And he's done it. He's done it. It's finished. It's finished. Remember a while ago, priest? It is finished. The work is done. Now, what pleases God? When we believe him. Now, he's looking all over the world. His eyes are going everywhere. Is there anybody that's going to believe me? Or they're going to come to me with their problems so big and so insurmountable to them that they'll put it across that way. You don't come to him like that because he's done the work. You know, I want to see a people, and I'm not just saying you blab it and grab it and just positive confession. You think about an iceberg. What we are in public is like that. It's only a third, isn't it, that's out of the water. Is that right? Or is it nine-tenths? It's only one-tenth. Only one-tenth of the iceberg is out of the water, showing. And when we come together as a congregation, we're worshiping God and we're making our testimony together, that's that one-tenth. I want to know what you're saying in your own private time, in your bedroom, in your workplace, when you're just doing life, when you're out in the shed, guys, when you're out in the shed, what are you confessing in your prayer time? Where's the nine-tenths? Your prayer life is the nine-tenths. Your prayer life shouldn't be, oh God, there's this problem, there's that problem, there's this problem, this is huge and that's insurmountable and that's impossible and God, if you can do anything about it, you know, please do. No, your prayer life should be, with God, nothing's impossible. I refuse to allow my circumstances, my experience, to dare exalt itself above the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words remain forever. They will always be there. And not one jot, not one tittle, not one little dot is going to pass away until it is fulfilled. How dare I exalt my experience? And everybody's got experiences, and they're tough. But here's the truth. God will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. God is for you. Who can be against you? It's that nine-tenths that you confess in your prayer life. It's that nine-tenths that's under the water that nobody sees, but God sees it, that strengthens your faith so that in those times when the one-tenth should be shown, what will come out of your mouth will give glory to God. It'll be like Shadrach, Abishak, Meshach, Abishak. Well, it could be that for whatever. It's like that confession that came out of their mouth. O King, it may be that God won't deliver us, but know for a fact right now, we're not bowing down to your idol. God is my God. That's the one the one-tenth showed, because the nine-tenths was under the water as their own prayer time. God, you're my God. Nothing's too hard for you. You're able to keep me. You're able to preserve me. You're able to keep me from falling. And I want my testimony to be that God has never failed me. God has never failed me because he is a God who cannot fail. If God is for me, who can be against me? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. That's our testimony. Jesus Christ has the keys of death and hell. That's why you don't have to fear any evil. You don't have to fear death because he has the keys of death and hell, and you are in the palm of his hand. Tell me, who can take you out of the palm of his hand? God is for you. It's that nine-tenths. As you read the word of God, as you meditate in it day and night, as you pray it, and sit before God, and like David of old, you know, just sit before him. And Lord, I cannot speak. What you have done for me is absolutely amazing. What can I say? You have blessed me with every spiritual blessing. There is nothing that you've held back from me. You've given it all to me. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, even when I'm more amazed at the grace of God when I can get into performance. I was always competitive. I like to go for things. And in that sense, I've been more amazed at the grace of God when I realise that I haven't earned it. Because, well, what I'm saying is sometimes I think I've earned it. Because you work hard, you pray hard, you do this hard, you study hard. And it's not about your study, it's not about your praying. It's about the reason why you pray, why you study to see what he's done for you, what he's done for me. I can't do your studying for you. I can't do your praying. I can pray for you, but I can't do your praying for you. I can't do your study for you. Why should you read this Bible? Because all the promises of God are here. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Word of God is alive and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And if the devil has, got a poison barb in you, maybe some experience that you've had in life that would say to you, this is how it's always going to be. And this is how people are going to treat you. It could be a billion different things. Or you're always going to fail. You'll never succeed. Well, you start reading this word. It's alive and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will divide between soul and spirit. Because that's where the devil gets his word in, creates a poison and starts to divide. But we've got to start to rise up. We've been hearing lots of words about rising up and overcoming the enemy. What is it that we overcome? We overcome those vain imaginations, those proud thoughts. Where are they all? Here. And what is it? That they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. How dare they exalt them? That's why I say I'm not going to let my experience dictate to me what is true. This is true. Let God be true, every man a liar. Now, I don't like saying you're a liar. I try to put it in a nice way. But what I'm trying to do is get you out of, stop thinking that your circumstance and your situation will dictate to you what God's will is. Let this dictate to you what God's will is. This is true. His word is true. Make straight paths for your feet. Make them straight. Get the twists out of them. Get the crooks out of them. And so, as for me and my household, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to walk where he's going and walk a straight path. God will never fail you. He is a consuming fire. First of all, when Jesus came, and we read out of Malachi there, that he's like a refiner's fire, where he's done that work. Boy, has he done it. All of our sins, every single one of them, has been purged. That's a refiner's fire, isn't it? And he's the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Luke 12 and verse 35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Are your lamps burning? Is my lamp burning? So that when people come in and join with us, they're going to see the fire of God in this place. I'm challenged by this. In 1 Kings 18, Elijah the prophet comes before all Israel and challenges them. And says to them, how long are you going to be crippled between two opinions? Because they're serving God, but they're also serving Baal. They were divided, double-minded. What does James say about a double-minded man? Let not him suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And so here's Elijah the prophet challenging a whole nation and saying to him, how long are you going to be crippled between two opinions? And he laid down this challenge that all the false prophets are there. There was over 400 of these false prophets. And he laid down a challenge and said, this is what we're going to do. You're going to offer a sacrifice. I'll let you guys go first and I'll do the, in Israel, the sacrifices to the Lord. There was the morning sacrifice and then there was the evening sacrifice. He let them go first. And you know, all the false prophets of Baal and that, they cut themselves, whipped themselves, screamed and cried and built this elaborate altar and no answer. No answer. Because Elijah had challenged the people and said, the God who answers by what? Fire. The God always answers by fire. The God who answers by fire, he's the true God. And so, you know, all morning into the afternoon, they're They're calling out, no answer, nothing happened. Then Elijah, in the evening, it's interesting, isn't it? In the evening, you know, we're in the evening time, right? We're at the last of the last days. We're in the evening time. And I'll tell you what, this condition is prevalent across the whole world. How long are we going to be crippled? No power. There's no ability to walk, no power. We need the power of God. When they're in the upper room, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit. What came on their heads? Tongues of fire appeared over their heads. We need tongues of fire again in each one of us. And so in the evening time, when they'd all given up, he gathers these stones and all from the law said, God said, if you're going to build an altar to me, I don't want you cutting any stones. I don't want you shaping any stones. You just leave them as they are. But I want surrendered stones. So he gathered 12 stones, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and he built an altar. He didn't shape or touch these stones in any way. And this is at a period of drought. Then he gets about 3 or 4 tubs of water and just pours it, puts the sacrifice on top and pours water over it, soaks it, the whole thing, makes a little moat around it as well, soaked the whole thing, filled the moat with water. And so this is going to be an awesome demonstration. This is God. And then he cries out to God, and God answers by fire, and it consumes the whole lot. And here's a quote that I remember was taught ages ago, I forget who from, but an empty altar receives no flame. Your life is an altar. The Bible says that you and I are living stones, that he has bought us with his own blood. He has paid the price to purify us 100%. That's what the cross is all about. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's when we realize what that price was paid. It's not, oh yes, I've got Jesus in my life, but I've got all these other things as well. If he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. He's got to be Lord of all of your life. And that's what the real issue is. How long are you going to be torn between two opinions? You want to be Lord? That's people serving Baal. That's Satan's. He hasn't changed one iota. Right back in the garden, you can be God. And really, he's seeking the worship. He's seeking to be Lord. If you think you're Lord, then he's not Lord. It's giving your life to him, saying, here I am, what's your plan for my life? I've just forsaken mine because you died for me. That means I'm living for you now. That's the issue that is brought to bear there. And so he gets a hold of a whole nation. He answers by fire. But here's the thing, an empty altar receives no fire. It reminds me of Abraham and his son Isaac. Remember, God's told Abraham to sacrifice his only son, and his son's carrying the fire and carrying the wood, going to where God told him to go, and Isaac worked it out. He said, Father, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the sacrifice? You've got to have all three things for that flame and fire of God to fall. We're the stones. We're the altar. We're also the sacrifice. The sacrifice. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Think about all he's done to you, for you, to set you free, to redeem you, to pay the price and say, you're my son, you're my daughter. I've got no record of wrong against you at all. You are mine, and I've got all these wonderful things I want to do with you and through you and in you. Wow, amazing. So there's the sacrifice, and it's you. And put yourself on that altar. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Wow, there you go. There's the bottom line. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And don't be conformed to the way this world thinks, because there's so much of that coming right now. Do this, do that. You'll be happy if you do this. You'll be fulfilled if you've got that. And they're all lies, chasing the wind. but offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And let's see the nine tents that's below the water. It's your own private lives, your own prayer time, your own Bible reading time, so that when we come together, that one tent that's out of the water is on fire. And this is all during the week as well, but you know what I'm saying. But when I'm challenging you, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. That is the nine tents that's below the water that nobody else sees, but God sees and you see. So let me encourage you with that. Can we all stand and we'll pray? God's wanting fire in this house, firing our lives. We want to see the power of God, to see souls saved, delivered, set free. Everything. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for blessing each one of us. We just stand amazed at what you've done for us. And here we are in this place, in this house with you, and we say, our Father in heaven, your name is wonderful. And now, Lord, we say, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. And Lord, we want to be the ones that you set on fire, oh God, the fire of your love, the fire of your passion, Lord, to see that brought to bear. We want to see heaven come down on earth. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's wonderful. Thank you for what you've done. Let your kingdom come, Lord, here on earth, here in Mobot, here in Australia, here in the world, Lord. And Lord, we say, use us, and we present ourselves afresh, Lord, not only here this morning, but all during the week as well, Lord, as we wait upon you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.
Sacrifice.